monsters, elections, and WTF is KBO.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for July 23rd, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine, and thank you once again for all of you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We're going to get back in the saddle now. We were kind of disjointed. We went on a little trip, and then we got back here. And
we're not disjointed now.
We're not disjointed. We're very jointed.
Totally jointed.
Yes.
The jointedest.
We're the jointedest we've ever been. And of course, joined as always by our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer, who puts up with us. And this week's edition, we had the monster election, the monster of all elections. We've got 2018, the midterm elections. This thing is going to be the nastiest, worst, awfulest thing we've ever been through until 2020.
Right. It's going to be long.
And by the way, just a quick side note. Did I tell you this already? The Trump re-election campaign is already a committee.
Well, wasn't there one inauguration day?
Yes, there was. It raised $10 million this last quarter.
Oh, be good for the defense fund.
Yes. So we got some comments on.
We got a lot of comments. Al Nala says it's always campaign time and fundraising time.
It's true. A congressman elected today has to raise $10,000 a week for an average election,
which is nuts.
Yeah, from the time they take. From the time they're sworn in to the next election, $10,000 a week. That's crazy. Go on. I'm sorry.
And DMK57 said, I used to envy Americans their midterm elections, a chance to throw the scoundrels out earlier. But now, not so much.
No, I'm actually thinking of like the German or the British system where it's parliamentarian. And if you get tired of someone, you can have an election. Elections legally can only last 6 weeks, which would be awesome. Because we're going to have to put up with this crap for more than 6 weeks. The midterms, they're always on election now, it just seems. And it's tragic. But this one in particular, because the environment has gotten impossibly, we thought, so toxic, it's just going to get worse.
Well, JMW Oracle agreed with you on there. He said, frankly, there should be no campaigning for office until a year before the election. I know I'm dreaming, though. The Republicrats and the Republicans won't allow it.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can constitutionally do that. I agree with you. I think it should be, you know,
our own sanity.
Let's just be even a little more liberal with the time. You know, I said the British have 6 weeks. Let's say 6 months. 6 months before the election, you can campaign, raise money, have commercials, do all that stuff. But I just think that there's a First Amendment component here that the Supreme Court would strike it down. You have a right to speak anytime you want to in this country and about anything. And apparently money is top speech, which is ridiculous in my view. And I know I'm going to get my conservative card revoked for that one, but the Citizens United was a dumbass decision. But go on.
Well, 2 Elling Jensen says, you people are going to have all the most fun.
You people?
Yes.
Okay.
That means I think everybody. I don't think she's American.
Oh, okay.
So she says, especially when we will see the same politicians get reelected, even though they have the worst ratings ever. And Dog Day says, oh, so you've been to Illinois.
Exactly. Well, here's another problem. Reapportionment or drawing the district lines has gotten so scientific that I believe the percentages continue to creep upwards, although it's impossible to get any higher. I think it's around 97% now of congressmen and women have safe districts. That's insanity. And now I'm going to sound like the old poop that I am, because I am an old poop, so I can sound like one. Back in the day, you really did have districts that were far less scientifically drawn. And so a congressman or woman would have a doctor, a lawyer, a millionaire businessman in the same district as a nurse, a janitor, and they'd have to balance that representation. So you had a lot more moderation and a lot more impetus to have legislation that benefited everybody.
We'd have to be more bipartisan because you have to appeal to.
Right. They weren't totally bipartisan, and that's a halcyon, and that's not true. But it was more than it was today. And, you know, as who said that about Illinois?
Dog Day.
Dog Day said it's true. I mean, Mike Madigan, who's our speaker for life here, has chopped up the state so scientifically that it literally goes around the houses of people, of sitting incumbent people he wants to get rid of. So it's incredible. So go on. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting. But yeah, it's a problem, and it's a serious problem, and this country needs to face it directly. But as far as, you know, like not letting them campaign, I don't think you can. It's a dream, and a boy can dream.
Well, Daniel M. Kimmel reads the strip completely differently than everyone else. Oh. He says, "Say, Stantis, why don't you just cancel the elections? It's how you guys on the far right like it, and you could stop the, quote, voter fraud, unquote, charade."
Yeah, you know, look, I'm going to talk about this. And can I take a minute, Janine?
Sure.
To talk about this? Because I promised we'd get out of this podcast a little quicker than we usually do, but I'm going to try. But as far as the voter suppression stuff, I do see it twofold. A, I think it's reasonable to expect someone to have a piece of ID, although there are instances where it's very difficult to have that. The motivation to have it is clearly, in a lot of these instances, not to have clear and honest elections, but to suppress minority and other people from voting. And so I'm going to be one of those guys who can see both sides of this argument and say that there has to be a happy middle ground on this thing. I want some moderation, and I want some, you know, maybe in my old age, I've just become this screaming radical moderate. You know, I don't mind. I like having a vibrant, healthy Democratic Party. I want one. I want to have that debate. But at the end of the day, I want to buy things like, okay, here's a great example, the health care bill. I want them to meet somewhere that they can both vote on it, because what's going to happen is Democrats are in control, so we're going to pass Obamacare. Republicans are in control, so maybe we'll pass Trump care. Then the Democrats will take control again, and we'll have Obamacare again. And it's just with neither side having a single vote from the opposition, these things are, in my view, pretty illegitimate.
And plus, it just is going to just completely screw up the Americans. We don't know what our health care is going to be at any given time.
How many people have you talked to whose health care is like bizarre, and they're up in the air and they don't know what it is or where it's going? And that's terrifying. This is your health.
Right.
So, you know, let's anyway. So there. I've come out of the closet. I'm a screaming ass moderate. There. I've said it.
There you go.
On some things. What else?
Kevin 78661 says the 2018 election cycle is probably going to be the most expensive election ever, but the GOP will still dominate because the Dems are still lost. And Malcolm Hall says Democrats have a plan. They can make fun of Trump and wonder once again why they lost. Oh, right. It was the Russians.
Yeah. You know, that's the problem with the Democratic Party right now, is it doesn't have a cohesive strategy. It, you know, it clung to the identity politics, which, you know, these are important. These are issues. They're important issues, but they're the bigger issue that is the unifying issue the Democrats have not found yet, and maybe they won't. Their leadership seems to be, it's Nancy friggin' Pelosi, for crying out loud. You know, it's the old line Democrats who failed and lost when they, you know, how many House? I mean, I think it's what, 36, 38 houses are now controlled by the Republicans. You have almost an equal number of governorships that are controlled by Republicans. You obviously have the House, federal House, and the Senate and the presidency. I mean, anyone who thinks that the Republicans are teed up for failure aren't paying attention. And so, yeah, they're right. The Democrats have to decide. Other than we hate Trump, which is fine. I'm a never Trump guy, too, and I don't really haven't changed much on that. They've got to move forward. And again, I want a vibrant Democratic Party.
Well, there's a little more third party talk, although that didn't really work. Thomas says, great opportunity for a third party. Where have you gone, Ross Perot? And Nightgot 49 says third parties fail because they don't have equal standing in this country.
And that's because the two-party system has created this monopoly that doesn't allow you, the voters, to have a choice. You have two choices. That's it. You go into a – I mean, could you imagine if you went to a supermarket, you have two choices of candy bars. You have two choices for, you know, your lunch meat. Two choices of anything, and that's it. I mean, it's Russian. It is totalitarian. And this last election, we had a good moment with Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson, God bless his heart, lost it, frankly, and had some bumbling moments and didn't have infrastructure to correct them like the other major parties do. But how great would it have been during the debates to have not just Trump and Hillary up there, but to also have Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, to have this true debate of ideas and this true tug of war for the hearts of Americans. It would have been phenomenal, and we need to do this. But the fact of the matter is, state after state after state after state, which is responsible for legislating and monitoring their own elections, have made it virtually impossible for third parties to have any level of success.
Well, that fits into their own interests.
Of course. Why would you want that? You wouldn't. I mean, if you are the two candy bar makers who make the two candy bars of which you can choose from, why would you open it up for a third, fourth, or fifth candy bar? But that's they shouldn't be the ones making those decisions. It should be us. And we should have a choice. And we don't. I mean, I think there's room now for a moderate party. I'm not sure what you'd call it.
I don't know either, but it would be nice. I think a lot of people would fit in that a bit.
Yeah.
So, on the lighter side, your Sunday comic strip.
Yes. Okay. This is a teaser for a series I've done from time to time, and I'm going to do it more often, I think, because I like doing it, is a series of Sunday, because there's a lot of places where the people who see the daily strip don't see the Sunday strip and vice versa. So I can do a series of Sunday in the Sunday strips. This is the beginning of a series that's going to focus on the New Horizons extended mission, which is very exciting. But I think I got too smart by half, don't you think, Janine?
Yes, you had KBO or bust, and everybody's like, what's KBO?
So here, I thought they knew what it was. Should I tell them what it was, or do you want to tell them what they thought it was?
Okay. Well, a lot of people had different things, but I'm just going to read the one from Electric Shadow, because that pretty much gets it all. It goes, Kuiper Belt Object? Korean Baseball Organization? No, the North Koreans would shoot them down. Keep buggering on, as Winston Churchill used to say?
Okay. It's the Kuiper Belt Object, and that's exactly what Pluto. They're ringing our solar system is a belt of a whole bunch of gunk and just building blocks for the solar system. And they're called Kuiper Belt because it was discovered by a guy named, well, curiously, Kuiper. And the Kuiper Belt objects. And what's interesting is the New Horizons mission is actually, since its amazing flyby, I mean, you have to admit, that was a remarkable, astounding achievement by the New Horizons team headed by our friend Alan Stern. And now it's going on to another Kuiper Belt object, MU69. And they have no idea what it is. They're just now doing some occultation, which means it's passing in front of a star. They're going to analyze the shadow it throws and see what the hell it is. Because this is the first. Now, you said this is the first mission. What? That's flying.
That's going to fly by and inspect an object that wasn't even discovered until after the New Horizons was launched.
Squeeze.
It was launched in 2006, and this was discovered in what, 2014?
Yeah.
So
how cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
I'm sorry. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. I'm just geeking out. Janine and I had an event. Like I said, I wasn't kidding. Alan Stern is a friend, and he invited us to the flyby in 2015 for the of Pluto. And what? I mean.
You were in geek heaven.
I was just had this stupid, ridiculous smile on my face. So it was pretty cool. But anyway, so that's leading into a series on Kuiper Belt. So those of you who listen to the podcast, now you know that the next couple of weeks are going to be talking about New Horizons extended mission, Kuiper Belt object. We're going to see something amazing, remarkable, something human beings never even dreamed of, and things that we didn't even know existed until just very recently. And that is the whole point of Discovery, and I cannot wait. And in fact, we're setting up an interview with Alan. So,
listen.
It was supposed to be this afternoon, but I kind of screwed that one up. Because apparently I did math.
That timey-wimey thing.
Indeed. We haven't even talked. Oh, I should have done that in the strip. I wrote the strip. I forgot. I need to write that. The new woman doctor in Doctor Who. So we'll talk about that when I write it. But I just, as a Who guy, yeah, what are they called?
Whovians.
As a Whovian, I say it's about time, and I think it's awesome. I think there needed to be a little more diversity in that role. They certainly went to the they went there. And because the master, if any of you actually watch the show, which most of you probably don't, but Judy and I are geeks.
Yes.
We love the show. So I think it's fine. And I just want to tell everyone, the ones who are getting kind of excited and are getting angry, it's a show. It's a TV show. Deep breaths. Deep cleansing breaths. And on that note, we're going to sign out now. I want to say thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brian Altimer, for helping us out here. And thank you, WGN Plus. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen Winslow, you certainly can by going to gocomics@prickly city or go to scottstantis.com. And if you want to leave a comment, we would love to hear it because we may just, and if it's smart and or funny, hopefully both, we'd love to read it here on the podcast. And or if you just want to write to us directly and we can have a dialogue, that's fine too. Just write to us at pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that about covers it.
That does.
Okay, until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.